Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. They're award-winning hot sauce. Bucholiquia comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite. Thai flavors. They also have Reaper Madness Special Reserve made with the Reaper pepper from Carolina. And for the brave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1 ounce bottle. JLD also has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to JLDSharpSauce.com. Use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order today. And if you do it before the end of January, and you spend $25, we will send you a sweet, sweet Saints Happy Hour Podcast magnet. Again, that's JLDSharpSauce.com. Use the code SAINTS to get 10% off your order. All right, gentlemen. I play this music because we may be in the throes of the saddest, most depressing week in the history of New Orleans sports. We are not a Pelicans podcast, clearly. But, Kevin, when you combine the Saints getting fucked out of a Super Bowl berth in Atlanta, which we were dreaming about all year, you combine that with Anthony Davis saying, "Peace out, motherfuckers," this morning on my drive to work, I can't think of a worse fucking week in the history of New Orleans sports. This is dreadful. I want to drink Drano and read Robert Frost poetry and take a long nap in my running car.
I mean, drinking that Drano might actually be tastier than some of that honey bourbon shit you drink.
Hey, man. I'm drinking the honey bourbon right now. But is it the worst week in the history of New Orleans sports? I feel like it might be.
I mean, I can't think of anything, too many things that might be worse. Closest thing I can think of is, I don't know when the New Orleans Jazz left town, but maybe that's, I don't know what else was going on at the time.
Dave, I feel like this is the worst week in the history of my sports life. Dave, what about you? Is this
how long is this song?
Oh, it's like 10 minutes, but I'm going to fade it out, you know? I can restart.
Well, yeah, look, hey, no, don't start it up again. you wanted this to be happy. Let's look at it this way. Look, Anthony Davis, I don't know why people are so upset about Anthony Davis leaving. I mean, yes, I understand. He's arguably the best basketball player in the NBA. He's our basketball player. He's on our team in our city. But for the last 6-7 years, however long Anthony Davis has been here, nothing's ever happened. The Pelicans have always been shitty or not that shitty, but still kind of shitty. Last year, obviously, I think was their best year since they've had Davis. But for however long he's been here, how long has he been here? 6, 7 years, 8 years?
7 years.
7 years, which is hard to believe. But as long as he's been here, all everybody has ever complained about or talked about is building a team around Anthony Davis. And the Saints have never been able to do that. And they still have shown nothing that they can do that. So it's why are we holding on to Anthony Davis? Why are we in love with Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis hasn't brought us a championship. He hasn't even brought us into the third round of the playoffs. He hasn't even brought us into the Western Conference Finals. And I would say, if anything, I think everybody should. And I'm not a big Pelicans fan. I don't start watching basketball until, you know, April.
Game 7 in the NBA Finals.
No, I mean, if the Pelicans are in it, I'll start paying attention late in the season if the Pelicans look like they're going to be in contention for a playoff spot. But anyway, my point is this. What was it? I would like to now quote Semisonic. Was it Semisonic? Every new beginning.
Beginnings has something end.
Like every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
There you go. That's what I'm talking
about. Did you guys not grow up in the 90s?
Yeah.
I did. I obviously knew it. I just didn't know it by heart because my memory is shot. But anyway, the point being, you know, they're going to trade Davis, obviously. We now know that they're going to trade Davis. We don't have to worry about – we don't have to go this offseason or the rest of the season worrying about having to keep Davis happy. You know, if – are we going to trade him? Are we going to pay him the big contract, blah, blah, blah? We have our answer. We know what's going to happen. We can – I'm saying we. I mean the Saints. I have nothing to do with this. None of us here on this podcast right now have anything to do with what the Pelicans are going to do. Let's use this to move forward. Let's get the pieces we need. Let's use Anthony Davis as our hook to get all the other pieces we need, and let's move forward and let's build a better team here.
Kevin, we have so much to get to tonight about our feelings, because I feel like Saints fans, it was nice that people were thanking us on Twitter and that sort of thing for getting us through this and all that. But I have to say, I am emotionally, the last couple weeks, I've been emotionally unstable, and I want to tell a story. I was dealing with a relative of mine, and she's very politically oriented in this and that, and she said, "You're sulking, Ralph. Ralph, you need to get over this. There's important things going on in the world, like Venezuela." And I said to her, I said, "Unless you can name me 3 fucking cities in Venezuela in 10 seconds, I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up and not tell me how to live my life." She couldn't name 3 cities in Venezuela. I can't name 3 cities in Venezuela. But the fucking point is, I want to live my life how I want to live my life. There's enough pain and suffering in the world. Where do I start? A child died today. Somebody died of a fucking heart attack. Somebody got run over by a drunk driver. Where do you want me to deal with all the sadness in the world? How about you let me live my life and be depressed that the Saints got fucked out of a Super Bowl?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
She was just like, she was scared, I think, of my anger, and she just kind of like turned and went away and talked to other relatives at the time. But that's where I am, Kevin. I'm emotionally a wreck, and when I think I'm over it, it just bubbles right back up.
I hope you apologized to your mother after you told her all that.
I did. But that's where I am. Either of you, are you at this same point, or am I a deranged lunatic?
Well, you are a deranged lunatic regardless.
Yeah. But I mean, even more so, like am I gone from like a level 10 lunatic to like a 15, and I need to get medicated and a straitjacket? No? Yes.
I mean, I didn't know that was. I didn't know if that was just for me or for Dave.
Either of you.
I think. Oh well, I guess I'll take it then, Kevin. Since you're not going to.
Thank you. Well, yeah. No, I was just like seriously. I was just looking up Venezuelan cities to see if I could even recognize any of the cities other than Caracas.
Could you name another city, Kevin? I don't think you could.
Oh. No, I recognize none of these names.
To answer your question, Ralph, I think you flew a little bit off the handle there.
A little bit.
I'm never gonna get over this. I'm never gonna forget this. I'm never gonna think it's fair. But I kind of agree with your relative. You do need to move on. Jesus, Ralph. I mean, come on. First of all, there's going to be another season. So at the very least, I would hope that this feeling you have won't last past, August of this year. I'm hoping that by the time new football has started, you'll be able to focus on the possibility of a new NFC Championship game and a new trip to the Super Bowl with an even better Saints team. But what do you mean with what? I don't know. You have a son. unfortunately for you, this is what a few people – I've heard a few people say this on the local radio. It's a good thing – that this happened to us here in New Orleans and not to the people of, let's say Pittsburgh or something like that, because at least we're in New Orleans. At least we have Mardi Gras and we have Jazz Fest and we have all the other wonderful things
here in New
Orleans.
Mardi Gras is going to be lit, by the way. Like, it is going to be throws and floats and themed. Like, that is going to be one of the vessels for New Orleans to get it out.
I can assure you right now that everybody behind the scenes of any Mardi Gras crew or whatever, they are scrambling now for sure to redo some things, to tweak some things, to take shots at Goodell. Because as much as they can in this limited amount of time, most of the Mardi Gras crews, especially the ones that are, historically satirical, they're going to want to be taking shots at the NFL and Goodell, and they're going to want to cause as much pain as possible. I know and my crew that we're rolling in, we had a whole float, and everybody was supposed to be dressed up as referees. I don't even remember what the theme was. This was all determined last year, before any of this ever happened.
Wow.
And we had one float where everybody was supposed to be dressed up as referees, and obviously last week we canceled it. We switched out the costumes. They're not going to be referees anymore, and only because they were just a little concerned that like parade goers might like throw stuff at them or just be illegitimately angry for no reason at all, even though
couldn't you be referees and all wear sunglasses and have like a
I would have just added to it and made, you know, somehow tried to make a joke out of it or whatever. But that is one concrete for sure example of how this whole thing has changed, you know, even Mardi Gras for sure. But it happened. It sucks. I'm never, like I said last week, I'm never going to forget the sound of the hit. I'm never going to forget seeing the hit. I'm never going to forget the feelings associated, you know, of going through that immediate, you know, when it immediately happened, you know, the expecting to see the flag and excited because, you know, it looks like they're about to just kneel it and kick the field goal, to all of a sudden, wait, where's the flag? To confusion, to anger, to all, you know, all those emotions. You know, I'll never forget that stuff, but I'm not going to let it eat away at me and, you know, start drinking heavily or eating poorly, Kevin, or yelling at my mother.
That's my next question.
My mother,
not
by the way,
only I, it wasn't my mother, but
and thinks it's,
I'm emotionally unstable. I was going to say, what have you guys? And I asked people on Twitter. I said, how have you coped this week with the loss? And I said, I gained like 3.5 pounds from Sunday night to Thursday. I just ate my feelings for 3 straight days. I was eating like a dozen wings, po' boy. I ate 2 of my favorite things at Potbelly, the buffalo chicken sandwich. I ate 2 of them one lunch. I just ate my fucking feelings. And that's how I was dealing with it till Thursday. Andrew's joined us now. So, Andrew, I'll ask you this. How have you dealt with this crushing emotional blow irresponsibly since Sunday? I've gained 3.5 pounds. Have you done anything irresponsible? I know you are very fitness-oriented, and that's unlikely. But have you drugs, black tar heroin, that sort of thing?
Well, actually, I've been doing dry January just over the holidays. I was drinking a lot, like every night, multiple drinks. And so after 10 days in a row of that and like heavy meals, I was just like, I gotta stop. So
Have you been humiliating 70-year-old women on the tennis court to get out your rage?
Yes. Not today, but, definitely. But anyway, so I got like 25 days into dry January and then the Saints lost, and I've definitely drank a couple times since then. So I'm back on the wagon or off the wagon, whatever, officially. But I don't know that I've been irresponsible in my health habits so much as just like I've kind of been a petulant child, both on Twitter and just I kind of like haven't been that fun to be around, like just always in a bad mood. And it's kind of like, it's kind of a double-edged sword because at first I'm like really emotionally affected, but then like, I'm also mad at myself because then I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You're 38 years old. Like, why are you letting a football game like upset you this much? So then, and then I get mad at myself. So then it's just like, it just keeps getting worse and worse basically.
Kevin.
Yes, Ralph.
You wouldn't kick your dog, but have you like neglected your dog and not taken him for a walk or, you know?
No.
Have you started robbing houses again? Have you buried a couple of dead bodies like you've done in this podcast before?
I've just feel like the wind has really been taken out of my sails. I've probably eaten more pizza and consumed more soda in the last six. Well, shit, now it's more than 6 days. In the last 8 days than I probably have maybe the last 8 weeks combined. I haven't. I mean, the month of January has been real shitty for like me trying to get out and go to the gym and be health conscious or fitness conscious in any way. So, I mean, this has certainly not helped.
Kevin, what does St. Louis feel? I mean, are there some residual fans that are semi-excited, or is everyone pissed, or do they just like pretend it didn't happen?
Now, most of the people that I encounter don't like Stan Kroenke and thus don't like the Rams. They don't want to see any kind of success for the team whatsoever.
They're full on Patriots this weekend.
And Kevin,
they're really not even. I don't even know if I would say that. I think they're just like, fuck this. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably watch the game. They'll probably hate watch it, but
Kevin, can you explain to people, because I think people that don't necessarily didn't follow the Rams leaving to LA closely or whatever. Like, it wasn't a normal, the team didn't get what they wanted and left, right? Like, they sort of like strung St. Louis along, and St. Louis thought they were like close to like giving the Rams what they wanted so they could stay, and then they left anyway, right?
It was really
contentious.
Like the city initially was willing to like put up some money for renovations at the Edward Jones Dome. And then I think there was even a proposal for a stadium right by the river, which, I mean, the Edward Jones Dome is basically like right by there anyway. So I think they would have had to knock that down, but they wanted to just tear down a whole bunch of like, I mean, granted, they've been tearing down old buildings, but they were going to pave a whole bunch of shit over, put a whole new stadium up. It's like there was a deal on the table. There was a deal on the table. Kroenke just, you know, Kroenke probably wasn't getting enough for his own liking, which, again, it's like that you can point to, you can just, that goes back to the greater sports argument that pro sports teams try and fleece cities.
Yep.
Anyway.
Because cities are dumb.
But, you know, there was more money in Los Angeles, and Kroenke didn't give a shit. Neither did Jerry Jones. And they got the team moved.
I'm not gonna lie. I feel slightly better. Today's like kind of the first day I've felt a little bit better. And a big reason why was Drew Brees's like positivity speech. Did you guys read that? Have you guys talked about that yet?
No, we haven't. Before we get to that, I wanted to ask.
I was positive. I was talking about positive things.
You were.
Yeah, but you don't affect me like Brew. Sorry, Dave.
But before we get to that, Andrew, I wanted to ask each of you this question. And Dave, I'll start with you. Look, the Super Bowl's happening Sunday. The Saints aren't in it. They got fucked. What could the NFL do between now and then realistically to make you feel a little bit better?
Nothing.
And I know, look, we fucking hate Goodell because of Bounty Gate, so there's really nothing he's going to say that's going to make us feel any better. But what could they do to make you feel a little bit better between now and then? Like, is there anything the NFL can do at Super Bowl week that will make you feel a little bit better, or are you just like, fuck them, I don't care what they say, it's too late?
I mean, I think I speak for everybody. I think if they fired the officials, I think that would make people feel a little bit better. I'm not saying that solves, nothing is going to solve the problem. Nothing is going to bring the game back. Nothing is going to bring the Saints 2018 season back. But at the very least, I think even at the pettiest level, I think we'd all be like, oh, good. Yeah, they fired him. Okay, good. That guy, fuck that guy. That guy, those guys deserved it. Those guys really deserved it. I really do. I really think that.
Would that make you feel better?
A little bit, and I'll tell you why. I mean, one again is just on a very petty level. I'm not necessarily that petty, but we have a lot of petty fans. Let's be honest. I think a lot of people would be very satisfied with the guys losing their jobs. I would at least be happy about it because I would say it would be the first step. In not just acknowledging that there was a screw up, but a first step in hopefully making sure that this doesn't happen again. I think obviously the ultimate thing that needs to happen, I think the only thing you know, at the very, very top of the list, number one on the list for Saints fans for what needs to happen. And the only thing we can legitimately ask for is that play in the future would be reviewable so that that wouldn't happen again. I don't think there's anything else you can ask for more than that.
Do you guys really feel that pass interference should be reviewable?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
You know what that opens the door to.
What? Let's talk about it.
So inside of 2 minutes, if you're going to basically every time, let's say the rules stick as they are now, and you can throw a challenge flag if you think it's pass interference. But like, so for the most part, like coaches aren't going to throw it because, you know, they've got to save their challenges. But inside 2 minutes, everything is reviewable in the booth. And so every 50-50, every flag that goes up is going to get reviewed because they're going to make sure it's the right call.
Andrew, I think there's a simple fix to that. You give a coach three, instead of two challenges, you give him three. And he can challenge any fucking thing he wants. But under 2 minutes, the reviews that are in the booth are the same. If a coach wants to challenge pass interference the last 2 minutes, he's got to fucking save his challenge. And if he wants to challenge a pass interference in the beginning of the game and he's out of fucking challenges, that's on him.
So I think that's how you fix that. So you're suggesting getting away from the rule that it has to come from the booth.
No, it's everything else can come from the booth, but if a coach wants to challenge whether something wasn't or wasn't a penalty, he has to challenge that. Like if my rule was in place, Sean Payton would have had his third challenge and he just said, "I want to challenge that. That's pass interference." The booth wouldn't do that. He's got to have a challenge to do it.
So I don't.
Booth and the referees aren't going back and looking at stuff. And yes, it wouldn't be perfect because the Saints could have been out of challenges and they still could have got fucked. But then you can put it back on the Saints and say, well, you wasted all your challenges. This is kind of on you. And I think that's better than what happened Sunday. A little bit.
I agree with that, and I think that's a simple and easy solution that works. And but I don't think you have to give them an extra challenge. I think you keep it at two challenges. I mean, because right now if you challenge and you win the challenge, you get it back, don't you?
If you go two for two.
All right. Well, either way, I don't think you even have to give them the third challenge. I think you keep it as it is. Every coach has two challenges. If it's not in the last 2 minutes of is it the first half two or just the game?
First half two.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not within the last 2 minutes of the first half or the end of the game, you use your challenges on whatever the hell you want to use them on. If it's within the last 2 minutes of the first half or the end of the game, coach can only use his challenge on if he has it or if he has one on a penalty challenge. All the other stuff is going to be automatically reviewed under 2 minutes anyway.
Yeah. All right. We got to get to Drew Brees' statement. But before we do that, the NFL playoffs are here, and it is time to get in the action with MyBookie. Don't be the guy not hate betting against the Rams when family and friends are sitting around watching the 53rd Super Bowl. It's the most wonderful time of year to hate bet against your teams you loathe. Make sure you're ready for daily action by signing up with MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership cares about good customer service. And they offer the craziest props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, Super Bowl season, NBA season, or NHL, you got to go to MyBookie. Trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join MyBookie now, and they offer a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the NFL Super Bowl. Use promo code HAPPY when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code HAPPY at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Terms and restrictions apply. All right. So, Kevin.
Wait. Ralph. Can I jump in here for just a quick second?
Yes.
Okay. I know we just did the my bookie ad.
Here we go.
Look, I alluded to the I didn't allude. I fucking said it on Twitter, and I just want to say it here.
We need to keep our sponsors, Kevin.
You can do whatever you need to do, Kevin.
Look, I hope that the city or the region, the greater New Orleans metropolitan area at large, doesn't watch on Sunday.
They can still hate bet.
Okay, sure. Hey, look, if you want to bet that, I don't even know who's doing the fucking national anthem. If you want to bet the over, the under on the national anthem, if you want to bet on how many fucking songs Maroon 5 is going to butcher and how you know, which specific goofball song they're going to sing, go ahead. If you want to bet the coin toss, all that, go nuts. Go nuts with your MyBookie stuff. But don't watch. Don't watch. You'll get the answer. You'll get the result either fucking way. I'm sure there'll be a Twitter feed that'll produce it was the over, the over hit, the under hit on this. The first play was this. The first points were this. You'll get all that shit. If you love watching the Super Bowl for the commercials, you don't need to watch the Super Bowl. They will put all the fucking commercials online if they haven't done it already. They're going to be doing it in the week leading up. Or the next fucking day, you're going to see all the commercials or the movie trailers or the whatever, either right before or right after the game. Don't watch the game. And I mean, New Orleans, when the fucking ratings come out from city to city, New Orleans should be as close to a Bluto Blutarski as humanly fucking possible. Turn your TV on, because somebody said that the Nielsen thing doesn't count unless the TV is on. So turn your TV on and put it on something.
Actually, they say to turn all of the TVs on in your house and turn them to something other than the Super Bowl.
Sanford and Son reruns should be getting higher ratings than the fucking Super Bowl where the Saints in New Orleans.
Just play the 2009 Super Bowl if you have the DVD. Here's my question.
One of my TVs will be on My Little Pony during the Super Bowl. I can promise you that.
Here's my question, though, guys. New Orleans is a historically, and especially since Drew Brees has arrived, New Orleans has been a fucking crazy NFL market. And when you talk about share of households watching the NFL, it's always ridiculous. The Saints have higher ratings to hate watch the Falcons than Atlanta does. So how much do you think the rating is going to dip? Because obviously people in New Orleans are going to watch the Super Bowl. Do you think the rating will dip significantly, Dave?
I honestly don't. I would love, you know, if they had like some sort of heat map that they could come out with after the Super Bowl to show viewership, you know, and if Green was like, this area had everybody had their TVs turned to the Super Bowl. I want New Orleans to be like just the red glowing orb, you know, where nobody watched the Super Bowl. You know, you guys aren't here. I mean, I'm sure you've kept up with it, but I mean, my Facebook feed for the last week has been filled with, you know, anti-Super Bowl parties, superb owl parties, boycott bowl parties. I mean, everybody's doing something. You know, restaurants change their menu for the week, and they've got like a lot of kitschy anti-Rams, anti-NFL, anti-referee, anti-Goodell names. You know, I'm emailing you guys or texting you guys asking what I should put on the yellow flags that I'm going to throw from Mardi Gras. I think there's definitely going to be a lot less people in New Orleans watching the Super Bowl than in other years. But I just don't know whether I don't know whether it's going to be enough to be a blip on the radar, though, unfortunately.
All right. Before we get to Drew Brees' statement, I want to remind people that we did the Drunk History raffle winners. John Murphy, Colin Cormier, Jim Grimsley, and David Bauman. You guys won the raffle. John's the only one that has contacted me back. We're going to set up the Drunk Histories. We're going to try to make the Drunk Histories even more fun than they were the last couple of years, because Lord knows this off season, Jesus Christ, we need fun. So,
man,
John,
if
Colin,
you if
Jim,
you ever
David,
down
get
the road,
contact
if,
with me so we can set that up.
Down the road, if you do a Drunk History for the Rams NFC Championship game, I'm gonna have to drink Drano to prepare for that
oh
one.
Oh my God! I can't. We gotta that wound is. We gotta let that thing heal. We can't. I can't be doing that. We might do the Minnesota thing from last year, but I gotta let it at least heal a year.
Maybe a Drano bleach cocktail.
Maybe 2020. So, all right, Andrew, you talked about it. Drew Brees made a nice statement. I wanted him to say we got fucking robbed, and that be the end of it. But he didn't, because he's classy. But his statement, you said it.
He said it. He was subtle about it.
He was subtle. I will say, at the Pelicans game, he wore the Red Sox hat, which is a subtle dig at L.A., because they care about the Dodgers more than the Rams. So I appreciate the pettiness, Drew. That was a nice touch. But, Andrew, his statement, you said it helped
Wait. Can we talk about this for a second? Because I saw somebody else who thought that Drew was wearing the Red Sox hat because, you know, the Red Sox are from Boston. The Patriots are from Boston. So I thought it was like somebody else was saying, oh, he's wearing that because he's rooting for the Patriots to beat the Rams. First of all, I don't think he's wearing it for either of those reasons. I don't think he's wearing it for the reason my buddy was talking about, and I don't think he was wearing it for the reason you just said. I think he's wearing it for the reason because he wears number 9 because he loves Ted Williams, and didn't Ted Williams play for the Red Sox?
That's true.
This is the conspiracy bullshit that I'm talking about, people. You're taking the most mundane things, and people are you're trying to give it these other meanings that just aren't there.
Dave, right, you got to survive.
Can we bring up?
Can
we bring up Alex Anzalone already?
So. I mean, here's the thing, Andrew. You felt like his statement helped you turn the corner, whatever. You're feeling better. Why did it make you feel better?
You know, I think it's the fact that he's been kind of silent on the issue. And, you know, he comes out with a statement today. And, I mean, I think if you were to ask me to guess what Drew Brees' statement was going to be, I would have nailed it within like 85% of what his statement ended up being. I mean, it was just very predictable, by the book, Drew. But, you know, I just thought like his comments about like, you know, hey, spend time being positive in your family and in your community. And, you know, just kind of like, hey, like football season's over. Like this is our time to refocus our energy and channel it into real life, basically. And then, you know, just kind of at the end, him just saying, like, I refuse to let this affect me, and I refuse to let this do anything but motivate me to be even better next year or whatever. So, I don't know. I felt like that was the first step in getting excited for next season. I feel like that was the genesis of what we have to look forward to. And so, you know, part of moving on is seeing light at the end of the tunnel. And yeah, I do believe the Saints will have another shot at making a run at this next year. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know that it made me feel better about what happened, but it got me like 1% excited about next year.
Here's my question. You know, and it's an interesting thing, Kevin, is that like, I get that Drew Brees is right and we got to move it along and eventually the Saints have to play another season like Dave said at the beginning of the show, right? So my question is, how does Sean Payton sort of help the Saints move this along and get them fired up and get the fan base fired up? And what would you want the Saints to do to just ramp up the petty and the arrogance and just shove it down the fucking NFL's throat in 2019? And it doesn't even have to be realistic. It can be your dream scenario that could never happen. But what would you want the Saints to do to just ramp up the fucking petty for 2019?
All right. I was hoping you would ask me this. I've been thinking about this one. So for starters, I don't know if they're going to have it. I don't know if they've, if they're done with team meetings, if they're going to meet with each other at any point before, you know, I don't know, fuck, before the summer. But Peyton needs to get all the guys in the room, all the staff, the whole, fuck, have Gale in there. And they need to play the first, 10, 15 minutes of Raiders of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And what Peyton needs to do is he needs to stop the movie right after that opening prologue where the guy in the leather coat, and if you haven't seen Last Crusade, please go watch it. It's a fucking great movie. After that guy in the leather coat and the fedora takes off his fedora, puts it on, you know, looks at River Phoenix and says, "You lost today, kid, but it doesn't mean you have to like it." And then he puts the fedora on River Phoenix's head, and then River Phoenix becomes Indiana Jones. And that's it. That's it right there. You lost.
Jehovah starts with an sucks. Eye.
And it fucking sucks. And, you know, Dave said he's not going to get over it. I'm not getting over it. I'm never going to be over 2011. I've said it before, and I'll say it whenever I'm around. I'll go to my fucking grave believing the Saints were going to win the Super Bowl that year. And I'll likely go to my grave knowing the Saints were cheated, robbed of a Super Bowl berth this year. As for how they respond, I think that the team or the officials should frankly just call out, you know, tell the players don't do anything. The team, the office, should frankly use the word cowardice to refer to New York and how they handle everything, and basically goad Roger Goodell into making an actual statement, not some lawyer jargon bullshit, but have Roger Goodell issue a statement. And again, it's not going to fix anything. Just Goodell ought to have the balls as the leader, as a man, as a human being to say, you know what?
Leadership.
You know what? You got fucked.
Yep.
All right. That was it. You got fucked. Fine. At least then it's like, all right, you're pissing on us, but you told us you're pissing on us. Okay. Fine. when the first fucking home game starts, play the goddamn scene from Last Crusade. And when the actual season does open on the road, probably, because it'll be the Saints at Los Angeles. Here's the thing. Immediately, like when the penalty happens, I will never call for a player to be fucking injured. I don't believe in that bullshit. But smoke a receiver. Smoke a receiver. And immediately turn away. Don't even look for the flag. They'll throw the flag. Turn and look away. Because here's the thing. Twitter and other assholes want the Saints to be villains. Be the villains. But don't be the mustache twirling villains that everybody thinks you should be.
be like, and I'm gonna pull another movie reference out. The movie Jaws.
Oh my God.
When Quint is giving that fucking monologue about the USS Indianapolis fucking sinking and all the sharks fucking eating the sailors. And how does he describe the sharks? They got lifeless eyes. They got black eyes like a doll's eyes.
Like a doll's eyes.
I want the Saints as a fucking football team to be a goddamn mindless Leviathan. I want them swallowing teams whole. I don't want fucking picture posing after interceptions or big hits or whatever. I want them to be ruthlessly, mindlessly efficient. I want them to be an eating machine.
I was gonna go John Wick, but I think animated John is better.
Let Gale be animated. Let the fans be animated. I want the team to just be robots.
All right, so clearly Kevin's not over this. What about you, Ralph? Are you over? The call?
I'm not over at all.
Kevin's still going.
I know.
This is where you need the mute button, Ralph, like around the
I know.
Terrified, especially into the Superdome. During a pregame, play the goddamn from Lord of the Rings, the fucking orc army. I want that.
The best part is all of us are like, we're kind of over it. We're not. And then it just bubbles back in, and Kevin just drops the fucking rage hammer.
And he just got me really hyped up. I mean, you know, and it reminded me, you know, Ralph, I think I responded to your tweet. You know, you were talking about what we want. You know, a couple of days ago, you asked that, and I said, I want 19-0 next season. I want to see the Saints come back the way the Patriots came back after, what was it, Spygate? Was that at 2007 or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with Kevin, and that was an awesome rant, Kevin, but I'm with him. I mean, I want them to just torch every fucking body down to the ground next season.
Them to torch everybody to the ground, but I also want Sean Payton to ramp up his asshole in post-game press conferences.
Yeah, totally.
I want him to give Pete Prisco and that ilk of NFL reporters an aneurysm on a weekly basis. I want the Saints to fucking run up the score on people, and when Sean Payton asks him to say, well, last year they said we can't leave it in a ref's hands and it was our fault, so we have to make sure that doesn't fucking happen. And yeah, it was 42-3, but you never know. So I did it. I topped it off with another touchdown by our third string running back. Go fuck yourself. And I want that every single week. I don't know if you can sustain it, but that's what I want. And I have such a black heart now. I don't give a fuck if the Saints are injuring people. If people got to get dragged off the field, and it's Falcons and it's Rams, and I'm going to stun all over those people and laugh at their injuries, does that make me a bad person? I don't care, because my heart is fucking black now. And the NFL did that to me, and I don't give a shit.
I would die if Peyton was in a post-game press conference next season after beating a team 52-7, and some reporter asks if he thought maybe they run up the score and Peyton makes some reference that, well, we didn't know if they were going to call any pass interference penalties and make a comeback, so we really just wanted to, you know, like I want everything to just go back to shitty refereeing. I want Peyton to get fined every fucking week.
Andrew, how big...
And this city would fund a GoFundMe every week for Peyton to be fined and to make some derogatory comment about the refereeing.
Oh, and by the way, people, I set up a GoFundMe for my mental health
God, I hope nobody pays.
I need $250,000 for a sabbatical so I can recharge and get over this this mental trauma that happened to the Saints and happened to me, and no one has donated to my GoFundMe. I only need $250,000 so I can have a 6-month sabbatical, and no one has donated. I feel slighted.
My hope for humanity is restored.
Yeah. So Andrew, so what
we
do you want,
the
Sean
Kickstarter
Payton?
Now we should just start one giant Sean Payton fine pool. We should just start the Kickstarter now. So by the time the season starts, we're already at like $100,000 and he's covered for like the first 10 weeks.
Can I be in charge of it like Tony Soprano and skim off the top? Andrew, what do you want from the Saints in 2019?
I just be
realistic.
Yeah, I mean, you guys nailed it. I mean, I want more petty. I think you guys said it. I just want more petty. I want more we make the rules, pal. I want more hashtag classless. I think it's kind of like what you guys said about Sean Payton. Like, you know, if he's throwing on fourth down up 2 touchdowns and you know, he's just, if a reporter questions him, he's like, well, you saw how we got eliminated last year. So just trying to make sure that doesn't happen again. And I want the team more salty. That's what I want.
And, oh, by the way, America can't hate the Saints anymore. Like I would say there's a large chunk of the NFL fan base that, like, they were like, yeah, you got hurt, but shut up. Like, they just, they don't care about.
Well, what I can't stand is don't tell me to get.
If you thought New Orleans Saints fans were annoying this year, if you thought that the fan base might have gotten a little too whiny or complaining about the result, boy,
they would have done the same thing.
They would have done the same thing, but let me tell you, the Saints fans, I hope they come out week one with even more intensity and more arrogance.
No one doesn't whine about what happened to the Saints. No one.
No, and I'll tell you one thing. If it would have been an East Coast team or Dallas, Jerry Jones would be holding press conferences every fucking day of Super Bowl week. He'd want Roger Goodell's head on a pike.
Yeah, you know what? Like, don't tell me. Do not tell me how to recover from something like that. Do not assume that you are. You're whining. You should move on. Don't tell me when to move on. I decide on my own terms when I'm ready to move on from something like that. If you haven't experienced what just happened to the Saints, I don't want to hear it. Do not tell me when to move on. Do not tell me that there's all this stuff going on in Venezuela that I should be worried about that's more important. I make decisions about what I should be worried about, okay? You know, do you know how many awful things happen in the world today? I can't spend all my emotional energy thinking about all the fucked up things that happen in the world. People die every day. People die of car accidents. People get shot.
We are on like minds. We need mental help. We do.
Wait, Andrew, you did you yeah. Were you listening earlier to the podcast?
No, Ross told me earlier about Venezuela.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
you know how many awful things, I mean, abortion, gun control, like I can't spend I would spend every minute of my day upset about something. At some point, I have to draw the line at what I'm going to invest myself in emotionally and whatnot. And it's all up to me. So do not tell me what to care about. If you're on Twitter telling people what they should be worried about,
fuck off.
Yes.
Here's my question, Andrew. What gives you – do you get more set – like if you ranked your life priorities and it was like family and then like being successful at your job, do the Saints slide above like beating 60-year-old women at tennis, or is like 60-year-old – beating 60-year-old women at tennis, is that third and the Saints are fourth? Like how do you slot your life priorities?
I was going to say Saints is actually in between family and being successful at my work. I was going to say family one and Saints 1A.
but your wife might actually listen to the podcast.
Your wife.
My wife.
I think she just got mad at me, actually, because she heard me hollering just now.
My wife was legitimately concerned for me. My wife. On Sunday. She called me Monday at work, and she's like, "Are you okay? Because I know you didn't sleep Sunday night at all." She's like, "That's just weird." I'm like, "It is. I haven't done this about the Saints since I was 13 fucking years old, and Flipper Anderson dropped 350 on them on a Sunday night game."
Oh, that was another Rams loss. Thanks for that, Ralph.
Yeah, the Rams, man. The Rams have. It's been a while, but they in the 80s, man, they dropped fucking pain on the Saints.
Let's not go there. Do not do this to me.
All right, look, we're not buying Super Bowl tickets, everybody, but I want to take a second to tell you about our new friends at TixBlitz, the official ticket provider of the Armchair Media Network. Unlike other ticket providers that sneak in extra fees and unexpected service charges, at TixBlitz, the price you see is the price you pay. Unnecessary fees shouldn't prevent you from seeing the sporting event, concert, or Broadway show of your choosing. Go to TixBlitz.com, enter the code ARMCHAIR at checkout to receive 5% off your total ticket purchase. That's TixBlitz.com, promo code ARMCHAIR. TixBlitz, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions, even if they're terrible ones.
Yeah, that was an adventure.
Yeah. That was a choose your own adventure.
That's you know
Jesus
what that is?
Christ. Flip that's to page like 37 and see if Ralph says it correctly.
That's
or
like
flip to page 39 and see if Ralph says it a fourth different way.
That's like me. You know what the only thing that's more dangerous than that ad, Kevin, is my crippled ass trying to drive a standard transmission. Like I mean, I would say it's more likely that I drive a standard transmission and don't kill someone than read that ad correctly.
I don't know. I mean, is Dave gonna make it?
I'm so glad you spelled it because there's no way they were gonna get to that site just by you saying it.
Dave's having a nougat moment.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Tick flicks.
You know?
Wait a minute.
Dick picks?
I didn't hear him spell it.
No, he did. He spelled it. That's how I knew that he was saying it wrong. Because it's Tick Blitz. It's Tick Blitz.
Did I say Twix one time? I found
it. Oh, you definitely did.
Jesus.
I like Twix. It's good.
I think they should force you, if TixBlitz is serious about their product, they should make you work in something like Hakeem Nicks, Hakeem Hicks, TixBlitz.
Y'all are mean. I tell you, man. It's like the guy Andrew, he sent me the ad, the copy, and he screenshotted it, and then his text message was just LOLs, buddy. Like, he, because he listens to the show, like, he knew that it was just like fucking landmines. He just set him out in front of me.
Hey, if he listens to this, what's his name? Your Tick Blitz guy?
Andrew.
Andrew, if you're listening to this, please work in Hakeem Nicks and Hakeem Hicks into your next commercial, please.
We need this.
Fans need this right now.
We do. Here's the thing, man. I asked people how they are coping.
He's still going.
Dave has just lost his fucking. This we might just play this. This will be a new open, or if we had actual commercial breaks, we'd do it as a rejoiner. I mean, I would say, like, and the thing is, like, we have 3 more months of that ad. Do you think I'll get better, or do you think I'll get worse?
No.
You're gonna think about it too much now.
It's in your head now.
Yeah. I asked people to tell us how they're getting over the loss, and it's just a bunch of rage at the NFL. Some people said they traveled out of the country. But we did have a couple of good questions. This is from Jared, Kevin. Why is the NFL commissioner such a piece of fucking shit?
Trying to think of any other reason other than he's a ginger, but I mean, I've got some friends up here that are gingers, and they're pretty good people. I don't know if I trust them.
Hot take Boudreaux disagrees strongly.
I don't know if I'd.
By the
I don't
way,
know if I'd I trust them.
I listened to that for the first time the other day.
Did you like it? I can't tell if that's a yes or a no.
I have to say, Dave, whatever you say, it is a split. It is like 55-45. 55% of the patrons love the message board and are asking if we're going to keep doing it in the offseason, and 45% of the people fucking hate it and threaten that they're not going to be patrons anymore if we keep on doing it. So we just plugged ahead and did it every week.
All right, so I got a new car. I got a brand new 2019 Ford Escape because did I mention on the show how I totaled my other car? I hit a streetcar.
No.
Christ!
You did what? Yeah.
Fucking drive on power T-shirt magnate.
And, anyway, so I totaled it. A streetcar hit me. It was my fault, obviously. Anyway. But
just glosses over that streetcar.
So I got a brand new car, and so you know it's got like I can plug my phone into it. It's got the Ford Sync thing, and so like I can do like iHeartRadio, and I can do podcasts. And I've never had this new technology, so I've got it, and so our podcast comes up, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. I can like listen to our podcast in the car, which I'm not gonna do, but. But it had the message board guy one night. He was like, "Oh, I never listened to this." So only 6 minutes. So I'm like, "Okay, I got 6 minutes. I can do 6 minutes because I'll be in the car for that long." So I hit it and I'm listening to it, and I was totally shocked. I had no idea that that's what you guys were doing. Kevin, have you ever listened to it before?
I have not.
Oh, you gotta listen to it.
So what's your feedback? Were you horrified? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
No, it was funny. I thought it was funny. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was good.
It's only 6 minutes. People have six minutes in their day. We give them other content. We give them this. We got a podcast talking about off-season stuff coming Wednesday, and we'll do something else Friday. But we do the message board for fun, and we got to get the people through.
Did you listen to the episode, Dave, where I said that the refs should have to spend 1 week in Angola, the prison, followed by 1 week in Angola, the country?
I only listened to the most – yeah, that would have been – yeah, I did listen to that one.
I was pretty proud of that.
Yes.
It's quality jokes.
Well, and a buddy of mine who just – I just told him that I did this podcast, and so he started listening, and he actually thought it was the maple syrup thing was funny or whatever. So there you go.
Kevin, if you're wondering what that was, you know how doxing is something you do to people on the internet? You give out their address and their personal information. I created moxing, where you find a person's home address and you ring their doorbell and you dump hot maple syrup on them. It's called moxing. Anyway, I thought it was funny. So
anyway, back to the questions.
That's why I'm a failed comedian. So people have questions, but this was a serious question. Receiver. Do the Saints need to add a receiver in free agency? That's from Joe. I guess not that we're thinking about names or anything, but off season, like, and Kevin, I'll start with you. Do you feel like
they don't have very many draft picks, so how the fuck else are they going to do it?
Are they going to do something, Kevin, that is either going to be giant free agent signing, or are they going to mortgage 2020 picks? Because they're doing one of those fucking things. What's more likely for them to do? And then we got to get out of here because we're at an hour.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I pitched the whole renegotiating Drew's deal so they could try and chase more people. But this team is going to trade up and mortgage more picks. It's going to happen. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In the interest of in the interest of being pro Leviathan for 2019, I will not complain or pitch a fit when this team inevitably trades their first round pick from 2021, a third round pick from 2022, and a fourth round pick from 2025, just to move up six spots.
That's a lot.
They really like. That's, I will not flip my shit. That is a Kevin, commitment.
That is a lie. We know that you will be doing this.
I gotta barbecue your ass, Molasses.
That'll be you on the post game show for the draft when they move up six spots. You know it. You're gonna lose your fucking mind. Don't lie to the people. They know. They know better. Listen. We didn't get to any people. I'm gonna retweet the thread because people had a lot of interesting things that they said. They boycott the NFL. Don Takano said he looks like Jim Belushi's dead body. He drank so much. People had a lot of funny things that they said, how they were coping this week. We'll retweet that on the Saints Happy Hour.
I know Twitter. What Dave's going to be doing during the Super Bowl. He's going to be watching, he's going to be binging on Alex Anzalone highlights.
Yeah.
Oh, that hair.
It never gets old. All right, so...
I mean, that was the perfect setup. It was.
So I
nailed that.
I hope that this ridiculous episode that was all over the place, that included a reference to message board guys that you should be a patron, to Dave trying to Dave getting run over by a streetcar, to me and Andrew ranting about Venezuela, to Kevin talking about Indiana Jones and Jaws. If this didn't lighten your mood, I mean, I can't help you. So anyway, for all the gentlemen, until next week, the bar is closed.
I mean, seriously, Caracas is the capital. Maracaibo. Who's ever heard of Maracaibo?